Dude, you come so far, man. I'm so stoked for you. Everything you're touching is just awesome. It's just great.
Yeah, thanks. And same thing to you, which is why I was, wanted to hop on this, especially right now in the mix of so many things changing and adapting. And what you're doing is reinventing and bringing something, there's some people who are kind of like riding it, waiting until live events come back. And there's some people who are using this time to innovate and create new things, because there's people who are sitting at home waiting for entertainment. And they're bored, and they're waiting for people to step up and bring them cool experiences. And it's like, you look at your virtual tour schedule, yeah, and it's like you're doing shows every day almost.
I am. Yeah. Almost every day. So I'm doing one right after this. I did one last night. I did two the day before. A lot of them are colleges and universities. So I do a lot in university, in the college market. You know that I won Magician of the Year at APCA this year, and I think that I won that and got the award right around the time when all the pandemic stuff hit, and my schedule for 2020 was really good. Like, I had a lot of stuff. Like, I don't think I've had an entire year where I'm booked every single month, like consistently, like a lot of shows every month and cruises and all these different markets. But I don't think I've had that in a really long time, at least. And so this year was really good. So when everything hit, I was with a bunch of other entertainers at APCA. And we were all like looking at each other like, oh my God, when everything with the pandemic was hitting, because we're sitting with our agents and we're sitting with, and we're all these performers and guys, and we're looking at each other and we're watching our schedule, our tour dates just dropping off. And it was one of the most insane things I've ever experienced in my career. And I'm sure you could relate. I mean, with that kind of stuff, I know you're not touring as much because now you're doing so much more of it on the virtual platform, which is amazing that you were already doing that. But like when all this hit. But yeah, so I knew immediately that I had to think outside the box, because I have to provide. I've got a wife and kids. And then on top of that, I'm not somebody who likes to just sit down and not do anything. I need to work and I need to perform. And I need to always have an outlet. I always need to be performing. And so I've done a lot on television, and so I know how to do stuff to a camera just from that, from doing a lot on TV. And then not only a lot on television, but also, when I've done my live stage shows, I work at a camera and there's a screen behind me and they watch the close-up stuff on the screen. And so doing that, I really knew how to do stuff for a camera. And then I just had to adapt to the situation immediately. I knew I was at home. I don't have a home studio. I mean, I'm in my house and I'm in my living room. But there's something kind of intimate to that I like. Like, your studio is amazing, but this is something that you've always been doing. And so you knew exactly, you've already been in this. For me, I was like, I tour full time. I don't need a home studio. So for me, I was just like, what can I do? And I knew I couldn't do the same touring show that I'm doing when I'm on the road and stuff. I knew I had to adapt it for the screen. I tell you what, man, I've talked to so many magicians, tons of magicians. I did one of these. I did a TAD talk with TAD Management. I don't know if you know TAD Management. They're my cruise agents, and they represent Jen Kramer, a few other great magicians. And I did a talk with them. We were all on live like this, and we were all talking about doing magic on a screen like this for an audience, but not like where you can see everybody and interact with them. And I've heard so much like blowback from a lot of magicians. Have you read of some of what people are saying about like virtual shows and stuff, and seen what some magicians are saying? Because some people are opposed to it. Some people are really into it and like, oh yeah, I'm doing virtual shows. And some people are kind of opposed to the concept.
Yeah, it's been super fascinating. It's exactly that for me, of like some of the like maybe more traditional, like, oh, this is a live theater art. That's what it's designed to be presented to audiences in real, like in real life.
Right.
And I obviously don't agree. And yeah, there's obviously something great about being in person with the audience. Also, here's Rob.
Hi, Robbie.
Says, hey guys, good to see and hear you both. There's an old college market friend. Good to see you there watching. Thanks for hopping in. And it's very fascinating to me. Is like, it's kind of like, okay, so would you rather leave your audience with nothing?
Right.
or give them something. Like, they're sitting home going to watch some other thing. So why not deliver them something that you can create? And going back to your stuff is like, and I think some of those people that aren't really excited about the virtual thing, it's because maybe they tried to do their stage show on camera and it didn't work, obviously, because it's made for live audiences. How right. did you adapt your, or you've been a kind of adapting through doing a lot of TV shows and yeah. then using cameras on your thing. How did you make that? Because inherently it is a thing that's designed for live audiences. So how did you bring that to a thing that works in this world?
That's a good question. The thing that I've heard from a lot of magicians, because I've gotten phone calls from a ton of magicians after they saw my schedule, and they were like, wow, you're doing a lot of these shows. And it was quick. I was booking them very quickly. Some of them were because they were colleges that I already had, and I said, well, here's a way we could still do the show. And then most of them weren't that, though. Most of those shows got changed to the fall. And then some of them were just, you know, shows that, that we just sent in the promo and said, this is what we're doing, and would you guys be interested in this? So the way that I kind of developed it from, you know, doing, like, instead of just doing my touring show, which you're right, a lot of the guys that I've talked to, they'd be like, well, how does somebody pick a card? How does somebody, you know, how do you interact with somebody and get actual feedback from them? And the truth is the first day that I did it, I was nervous about that aspect of it, because what I knew was it had to be more visual. Because in my stage show, you've seen my stage show a bunch. My stage show, I do a lot of interaction, tons of audience participation. It's extremely funny and just having a good time with everybody. And then there's stunts and stuff. And I don't do as much visual stuff. A lot of it is mental, like, you know, mentalism and stuff. I don't do a lot of like visual stuff. And so to change it to this, I knew I had to do a lot more visual stuff. I mean, here, I'll show you right now. Like things like, you know, I'd be like, hey, I've got a pack of gum or whatever. And, you know, and you just shake it like that, it changes to a bar of chocolate. Like visual, you know, more visual things. I knew I had to do like things that were more, more like that. And then the interaction part, actually, that's a part that a lot of magicians are wrong about. They think, you know, how are you going to interact with an audience if you can't see the audience? So I'll have, I'll be on one iPad here and then another iPad here and a computer here, and I can see everybody. So yesterday the show was for Colorado School of Mines, and it was like 375 people. It was a lot of people. It was the biggest show I did virtually, because I've done some of these virtual shows for like 10 people. Like tonight will probably be about 50. Yesterday was a lot. And I can see, I can scroll through. So what I do is I have the person who hosts the event on Zoom, I have them control everything, so I don't have to concentrate on that. I'll say, right before the show starts, I'll say, pick three or four people who don't have background noise, who are going to be unmuted the whole time, and tell them to turn their cameras on so I can see them. Those are going to be the main people I'm going to interact with. And then everybody else, if they want to raise their hand, like in the chat or whatever, they could be involved too. But we tell everybody before the show starts that this is what's going to happen. So then whenever the show starts, I come right out. I explain that everything's going to be just on this one camera angle, so I can't do any trick photography or video editing or anything, you know, anything like that. And then I say, and then turn your cameras on if you feel comfortable doing that. And then I have the person, the host, I'll sometimes say, oh, this person's raising their hand, you know, unmute, you know, Sarah or whatever, and they'll unmute her. And then I interact with that girl and I can hear their reactions. So I'll have an AirPod in one ear and then I got my microphone on the other. And then I can hear their reactions and see their reactions in my monitor. So it's really, honestly, Chris, here's the funniest misconception that I'm hearing from so many magicians about doing the virtual platform, is that they're like, it's not like you're doing it for a real audience. I'm like, dude, I've been touring since I was, you know, 10 years old. And I know what it's like to perform in front of a real audience. And after I'm done with these virtual shows, it feels like I just did a show for a real audience. The only difference is they're not touching the props. So if I say, I need somebody to pick a card, and I'll say, see a card in the deck, or I'll riffle through and say stop. You know, that's kind of the way that you can kind of get past that. But it's so funny, man, because so many magicians have asked me how you get past, because I'm sure everybody's just like, well, I'm just going to do my show for the virtual platform, but how would I do that? And I only do maybe two bits from my live show, and the rest had to all be adapted really quick. But it was all stuff I've done over the years, or stuff I already had kind of in the bag. And then I'm still developing stuff now. Like, I'm still working on bits to, you know, in it and everything. So, I mean, it was a challenge to do, but I got to be honest, it wasn't that hard of a challenge, at least for me, because I was already doing so many things on camera over the years.
In a way, there, when you were saying that, in a way, I kind of thought about how, in a way, you need to be even more connected with your audience and more mindful because you can't feel them as close and hear them as close. So if you have a monitor where you're seeing them, you need to actually be really be mindful of actually paying it, like put that effort in to pay attention to them and see how, you know, you're going to see somebody laugh that you can't hear them laugh maybe. And that's really interesting of like, oh, you're not being distanced from them. You're actually, it's actually making you be more aware of them.
It's more intimate. There's an intimacy in the virtual shows. I read a blog from a magician. I don't remember what he called it. Plus, if I name drop it, it'll sound bad. But it's a magician who I admire, and he wrote a blog that was really bad about virtual shows, like completely bashing them. And then a lot of magicians I admire were like commenting on it and like talking about how bad these virtual shows, the ideas were, and all this, and how it strips away all of these elements from a live audience and your personality doesn't come across. I think it depends on the performer. I don't think everybody could do the live shows, to be honest. I mean, the virtual shows, to be honest. I think that he's right in that. I think there's a lot of people who can't do the virtual shows and shouldn't, maybe because if their personalities aren't coming through live on stage, they're probably not gonna come through in the virtual, you know, in the virtual platform. Like somebody like you, I've seen you and I performed a lot together in the past too, and I've seen you do your thing, and your personality comes through on stage and off stage, and you're the same on stage, off stage, and on camera, wherever. So if you're not already naturally like that, you're probably not going to nail these virtual shows. But the intimacy of it is great. I love how I'm like in my house, in my living room, and I'm like, welcome to my house. Some of these schools, dude, you know, they've seen me come to their schools for years and they're like, whoa, we're like hanging out with Joel talking on camera in his living room. And I'm like, yeah, man, like if I was going to do the virtual platform for like years, I would do like a set and, you know, obviously, but I'm not, you know, I'm only doing it for this during this time, at least for right now. That's the plan. And there's something that I like about the intimacy of being like in my home, you know, we're just hanging out. And it's really, I mean, the word intimate is really the best word to describe these virtual shows. They really does feel that way. Do we have any questions?
Popped up. We'll drop a comment if anyone has a question. It looks like there's probably a lot of magicians and performers here. David Boyd, another college and cruise ship performer there. Intimate and challenging, but fun.
David's done. I know David. I just talked to him the other day. I know he's done a few of them. David Boyd's done a few of them. And then so there's different friends of mine that I know are doing them. But it's usually, honestly, dude, the guys who are really doing well with it are the guys who just don't. They don't look back. They don't look at any other option. I look at it like this. There's two options for the virtual shows. It's either you can go in it as like Joel Myers or Chris Ruggiero, the artist, or are you going in as the performer and the provider and the person who has to still work? You know what I mean? Like for me, I'm like, I got to provide for my family. I got to still work. I have to still tour. I have to still do what I'm doing. Now, my prices aren't the same as my touring show, obviously, you know. It's not that much less, though. I'm able to still get something. I mean, I'm still making a good living out of it. And it's because, honestly, I'm just busting my ass booking them. And if people aren't busting their ass trying to book them, they're not doing good promo for it and not really pushing with it, you know, then they're, I mean, it's just like touring live, man. You got to bust your butt to try and get it done, you know.
It's like reinvent. What kind of to double back down on what you said before of like some people, might not be a good virtual magic show. But I kind of wanted to like lean into that of like, maybe you can't do your magic show live, but maybe you turn it into a talk show where you talk to other magicians and performers about it. So I think there is an opportunity for everyone. And I want to like be more clear probably than I have been about like encouraging people to do something, but maybe that doesn't mean do your juggling show. Cause it's like, I don't know that a juggling show will ever really work that well on a virtual thing. Like it doesn't make sense to do juggling in your living room, but like it makes a lot more sense for me to talk to my friends who are doing cool stuff. So I'm doing more of these interview shows. And I'm more hosting and curating people who are doing cool stuff. So I think it's important to like encourage people to, maybe your show will never work and maybe you won't ever do a magic show or juggling show again, but maybe now you use this time, like I am, I'm not really a juggler anymore. Now I'm more of a host and a curator of other people, what they're doing and highlighting what other people are doing. So I think it's cool for people to think like, maybe that's this is like a new rebirth for what you're doing.
Yeah.
So I think that's a cool. Yeah. Some questions will pop in here. Looks like there's a bunch of ones that popped in. What's your favorite routine during these shoes from Wade, another magician? Is there something that makes sense in this virtual world that you wouldn't typically be able to do in stage shows?
Yeah. So, like I said, I adapted a lot of the magic that I do. Like when I do magic on a cruise ship, I have, two cameramen who can film me and it'll be up on the screen. So some of my close-up card work, that's kind of, where like smoke's coming out of my mouth and a playing card's appearing or I'm doing things where a playing sign. Well, like if I need somebody to sign a playing card, how do you do that through the screen? So what I do is I tell somebody, I pick somebody through the screen and tell them, name any card you want. They name the four hearts. I snap my fingers and the four hearts is on top of the deck. And I say, now I need to sign it. Now, if you were here, you would sign it. But because you're not here, I want you to tell me any word in the English language and I'll sign that word on here. I'll do that. And then I say, now name any kind of like easy drawing. I'm not a great artist. So name like a drawing that I can draw, like a heart or a star or something simple. And they, yesterday somebody said the word noodles and they told me to draw a top hat and a poodle. And so I did that. And then I could do like an ambitious-y type of card routine, my own, version of it. And I would say that's probably my favorite type of routine to do with it. I'll open it where I'll make a deck of cards appear in a really cool way. And then maybe I make all the aces jump to the top. Then I tell somebody to think of a playing card. It appears on the top. Then I sign it, whatever they say. And then it appears on, in all these different places. Then I pull it out of my phone. That's like the kind of thing where it's still interactive, but it's really visual and still shocking.
Yeah, that's nice to be able to bring that actual. It's the same experience as them signing. Like, obviously, he wouldn't have known that I was going to say noodle thing. And it's like they're friends that even virtually, like we know it wasn't like somebody just like faking it or something. It's like obviously happening.
If you're a magician watching this, you have to think outside of the box with this virtual platform whenever it comes to that stuff. Because I've had so many magician friends, a lot, Chris. I've had like 10 guys call me and ask me. A lot of them are asking me the same questions. How do you do some of like they just think it's all visual, like it's just playing cards appearing and billiard balls appearing, and then what else are you going to do? My virtual show is just as interactive as my stage show. It's the exact same amount of interaction, except for I'm not touching people like and saying how you doing and all of that kind of thing. Touching their shoulders or putting their hands out and putting things in their hands, but it's just as interactive because I thought outside of the box. And it took shows to do it. It took multiple shows. Anybody who's performers that are watching this knows you don't just get up and just do it. The first time I did it, I was a little bit nervous, which felt good because I've been performing since I was a little kid. So it felt good to be nervous about something. And then more and more shows as I was doing it, it got better and better and better. And now I'm, 8 shows in or something. And now I'm feeling like there's a groove there. So it's just that kind of thing.
It's just like when we started doing birthday party shows in backyards, it took 15 years for them to start getting good. And people are expecting their virtual show to be awesome a week in. And it's like there's even more like the tech and stuff is like stuff to.
If you're a good performer, like I said, going back to what I said earlier, if you're a good performer, it will be good. Even the first time you do it, they'll still get your personality through and all of that. That's the thing that I disagree with anybody who has a problem with the virtual shows, any magicians that have problems with the virtual magic show. The thing I completely disagree with is that they're like, oh, it'll destroy, your personality won't come through and your interaction with the audience isn't there. The audience isn't applauding normally. I still have them applaud. I can still hear people. I'm still very much involved. The thing I really disagree with is that they think if you're a good performer, it's going to come through. As long as you are a good performer. If they're bad performers and they're trying to do a virtual show, it's going to be bad, just like their live show is bad. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, Ben here says the audience reaction after the show is far more than expected, which mimics what you were just saying. Like people are actually interacting. Nash here says how you keep your hair fresh during this pandemic.
Nash always asks.
Talking to you, not me.
I was on a TV show like 4 years ago where I wore a fake mustache at one point, and Nash was like, and after that, his questions when I was doing interviews, he'd be like, "Where's your fake mustache, man?" Thanks, Nash.
Dave, Kid AC, here's Ace is same thing. What's your favorite virtual show, teaching or performing magic? Because you're doing some stuff in the show where you teach, where the kids, the students walk away with learning some stuff too.
90% of the time I teach a trick at the end, And I do that because it creates more variety and, again, more intimacy and something where they walk away with something. So at the very end, like the show tonight, the show last night, it's all walking away with one trick at the end. I've only been booked for one thing and a corporate thing that I'm doing on Monday, I think, where I'm teaching more magic. But honestly, the performing is way better. Teaching is okay, but performing is way better. I still do the one teacher thing. And then sometimes I'll do a 5-minute Q&A at the end if the college requests it, because I get a lot of people who do want to ask questions. Like yesterday, we had so many hundreds of people on the show yesterday at Colorado School of Mines, and we had tons of questions. We had to cut them off about everything from touring and, you know, to doing the virtual platform, doing magic on TV and all this different stuff. So yeah, I like doing the show better.
Cool. Ben said tightrope makes sense. Yeah, maybe tightrope, living room tightrope would be fun. That'd be cool. Brad said, how long did it take to put your virtual show together? Obviously, that's a loaded question of like, it took you your whole life of preparing.
Yeah, Chris pretty much got that. Yeah, the virtual show, like I said, I do about two routines in my virtual show that are about 7 or 8 minutes each that I do in my stage show. So my virtual show is an hour, and two of those routines are almost 20 minutes right there. The rest is pieced together with stuff that I've either done in my second cruise show, because I do two cruise shows when I go on a cruise ship. The second one, I do a lot of camera work, so I'll use bits from that. And then there's some bits that I've loved doing that are really visual that you'll see, like, you know, Instagram or TikTok magicians do, where they just shake something and it changes, or these kinds of things. So I've had to learn to do a lot more of that kind of stuff in this, where, you know, I kind of apply it to whatever I'm doing in the moment. So if I need a deck of cards, instead of just pulling out a deck of cards, it appears in a really cool way. Or if I need, I need candy for that one bit, and so I make the chocolate bar appear, just in out of thin air. It's the kind of thing where it's not like it took a certain amount of time just for the virtual show. I'm still developing the virtual show.
Yeah, and he followed up there, did it change much, which you just kind of talked about how it's a constant evolution, just like doing live shows. It's like every single night you're like, oh, how did I learn something new 20 years in?
Yeah, and if you stop and think you got it all figured out, you're dead.
This is a cool concept. So it's like typically in like college shows would want about 60 minutes, sometimes a little more. So Nash, that's a good legit question. What's the perfect length for a virtual show? Because it is different. You know, it's harder to ask people to stare at a screen for 90 minutes and watch one thing.
You'd be surprised. The reason why it's not that hard right now is because nobody knows what the hell to do. People are watching their fill of Netflix and Disney Plus. So right now, like, I keep going back to this, like Nash and David Boyd and Wade and you, Chris, and me, we are all touring performers. We've been doing this forever. I just name dropped some of the top guys I've ever seen perform live. You guys are not gonna have a problem doing an hour and getting everybody to stay. You're not gonna see in the top part, so-and-so left, so-and-so left. You're not gonna see that. You're not gonna see that stuff, even if it's an hour. You don't wanna do more than an hour. I keep it about 50 minutes. In the last 10 minutes, I do 5 minutes of teaching and then 5 minutes of Q&A. And the reason why I do that is it just kind of keeps it to where I'm not just performing the whole time. And then it's okay, bye. It brings it back into a little bit more intimacy at the end whenever I teach everybody something. So now they leave with something. And then the last 5 minutes of that, whenever it's like, you know, almost been the full hour, I'm answering questions about myself, and it can get pretty personal. You know, you can ask me about my family or about, how this pandemic has affected me on a psychological level as a performer who's used to being in front of live audiences. And so that can get really personal, and it feels like not only did I blow them away, entertained them, took their mind off of everything for a while, and then they learned something, walked away with something. And then on top of that, they felt like they got to know me a little bit. So it ends up being this thing where, I tell you what, man, it's almost therapeutic, these shows. And I've gotten a lot of messages, Chris, from people telling me that same thing, that where I felt like it was like almost therapeutic. And I've had people messaging me that. And that's why it's so funny. Any of the negatives that I've heard from some magicians about the virtual platform, I'm like, they have no flipping idea. Like, they have no idea it's just another platform to be able to do magic. And I was a little bit skeptical about it at first. I genuinely was. But it's just another platform to be able to do what we do in a really positive way. So.
And to double down on that, I want to like be overly clear on that is like, there's some, especially think about college students, you know, there's some college students that would be like too shy or embarrassed to go to the magic show on campus. Like if they didn't have someone, a friend to go with, or like, I don't want to go alone and have to sit there alone. And they would never see what people like you are doing. Now they're sitting at home and they're like, yeah, I'll pop in here. Maybe I won't turn my camera on, but they can be more anonymous. And now like they're going to, they get to experience something that they maybe would have never gotten to experience in the normal, quote, normal real life. So it's like, if anything, it's like you're able to deliver whatever your goal is, your message, your smiles, your magic, your juggling, whatever it is, like, and we have this opportunity to deliver it to people who probably would never even go see it. So it's like,
that's really good. I didn't even think about that, but that's an awesome point. And there's been people where, you know, in the beginning of the show, when I say, if you feel comfortable, turn your cameras on, because I love to see your facial expressions so that it feels like we're all in a theater together or like hanging out together. And so I love, that's a really good point, because when I see the people's cameras turn on, you know, and I've seen some people who leave their cameras off even after I say that. And then after a while they decide to turn their, I see their cameras popping on and it's like, they're like, okay, now I feel comfortable. And so that's a really good point, what you just said. I didn't think about that, but you're probably right.
Yeah, because some people are like, oh, I don't want to go to the magic show. What if he calls on me or something? You know, it's like if you go to see a good performer, they're not going to make anyone in the audience feel bad. But like people, everyone has been to a show where the performer made them feel bad in some way. So it's like gives them that safety.
That's a great point.
Gives them that safety to like, okay, cool. I know he's not going to pick on me or something. Not that you or any of the people that you just talked about would do that. But there are certainly some magicians who make the audience feel like crap.
Right.
So that's cool. All right, let's we'll wind this down because I know you have a show to prepare for.
Ben 30 minutes
says, describe the feeling when your first virtual show paid. It was incredibly exciting. I'm sure. Yeah, that's obvious.
Awesome. Do you mean literally paid, or do you mean like
it paid off, like people actually paid attention?
Like it got, like I did it.
So real quick, do a wrap up here. What's your advice for new performers that had shows canceled they relied on to promote themselves during these times? So that'll double down. We'll use this as your wrap up because I know you got to go and appreciate your time here before your show. And there's a lot of people who might be wanting to get into this and they're just like, but I don't know. I know how to go do shows at parties and events. What do I do to get started?
Think outside the box. First of all, don't underplay yourself. Don't say those words. When a lot of magicians were calling me and asking me questions, they're automatically already crippling themselves by saying, how do you do it? I don't know how I would do this. I don't, you know, this is the way I do it. How would I do it another way? You have to think about the magic that you do as though it's limitless. And so many magicians don't do that. They think this is how I do my magic, period. And you have to think like it's limitless. I've done magic in so many different ways. If you go on my YouTube channel, you'll see me doing stage illusions that I've done, you know, on television shows where I'm dressed up as a Harry Potter, all the way to, you know, doing the stuff I do on Masters of Illusion where it's my style and the way that I'm doing it is, you know, close-up magic and that kind of thing. You have to be able to look at it like it's limitless. So if you want to do the virtual shows, think outside the box, know that you can do it and you can pull it off. You know, really, really think about, analyze your show and what you're already doing. Think about which elements you could actually put into a virtual platform. And then look at other things that maybe you've thought about doing in the past and how you could apply that to the virtual world. You know, that's how I would say you kind of get started with it. And then the main thing is really, really promoting it. So to be honest, my promo video for it, the way that I do it now, is a little bit different than the way I promoted it because I didn't know it was going to turn into what it's turned into since I made the promo video. But the promo video I made was perfect and sold it really well. So, you know, really be having the guts to be able to, you know, go to, if you work with agents, go to your agents, tell them what you're doing, and make a really good promo right away. Make really good promo videos and promo material. Chris took all my main promo photos of me. You remember you took in LA, we did a photo shoot. And he did it for a magazine for me, but now I use a lot of these pictures that he did for my main photos. They're really good photos, and I use those to promote the show. Think of a really cool name. You know, try and don't worry about what anybody else says, man. I've had good and bad from this. I've had, you know, a lot of good, and a lot of people have said bad things too. like things like pushback, like against it. Like, I don't like this idea of what you're doing, or even jealousy or frustration that I'm booking so many and doing so well with it. It does. Do what you know you have to do. Go out there and do your passion, and you're going to be able to get it done. So yeah, that's kind of what I'd say. I know that was kind of all over the place to wrap it up.
Sweet, man. That's great. Yeah, it's cool. And again, it's cool to see people who are, yeah, there's always going to be people who are giving you pushback or saying, hey, we don't want you to do this because we want things to stay the same as they used to be or the same as they were. And that's typically from people who don't want to innovate. And I've been talking with people who are using this time to innovate. And it's like, right. You know, not, and then the cheesy example is we're not trying to make a radio show work on television, and we're not trying to make a faster horse when right. The world wants a car, you know, it's right. Like, cool. Sure. Like the world, this is what the world needs. If you decided to be an entertainer, the world needs you to step up and be an entertainer.
And I jump off of what you just said too. I'm going to add to that. You know, whenever something happens right now, people are looking for this. They're looking for this. I'm getting messages and calls every single day because I've been putting it out there that I'm providing this. And so I've always said, it doesn't matter how good you are if people don't see it. So at this point, you got to remember, people are looking for what I'm doing and what you guys could be doing. They're looking for this. So you remember that. Don't be like, don't worry about anybody who's hating on it. Who gives a crap about them? You know, look at the fact that there are people who are looking for this, and you're going to be able to do it. You'll be able to provide for your family. You'll be able to still tour and perform, which is amazing. When I'm done with these shows, I feel like I just did a show. It feels almost the same, except for I don't do a meet and greet after. You know what I mean? But other than that, it feels pretty much the same. So yeah. Yep.
Sweet. Cool, man. All right. There's still some questions popping in here, so maybe we'll do a round two eventually. Dante yeah, says, what elements make for a good virtual effect? We kind of, if you're just popping in on that, we talked about that before of doing things that actually work. So Joel's got a bounce to do a performance right now. So thanks for your time. Thanks for sharing all that stuff. I think it's really going to inspire people who maybe were given pushback of like maybe have a new perspective. And that's a really important part right now. So
I hope so. Hey, love you, buddy. Good to see you, man.
Cool, man. Thanks. Thanks everyone for tuning in here too. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.